Sunday night, Chavis al Vavas Shir, Shara Bechina. Sunday night, or Le Tess Kislev. Okay, so. With your permission, I'd like to say over a speech I just gave. And the blasters are having like a super soda tonight, so I was there. I wonder why I missed his speech to come here. I thought there was no choice. I didn't cheshbon correctly. The flow of the evening. Yeah. I'm very naive. Like people say 8 o'clock, I think it's going to start at 8. When is that going to change? When am I going to grow up and realize that it's not starting at 8 just because they said it? When I invite you ladies to something and I say 8 o'clock, it's going to be 8 o'clock. I'm telling you now. So when we have a shir the night of my daughter's wedding, Mr. Shem. I would like to say over what I said because it's relevant to what we're learning. I wanted to bring out a certain point, to Suda Soda for his life, really. His life. So I said in Shara HaBechina, we're learning in the Psicha to Shara HaBechina that when things are not going right, or not going the way you would like them to go, and there's bumps in the road, and this is one of the things that tear us away from being overwhelmed by Hashem's hatava and goodness, and the reason he wrote Shar HaBechina, right? He says three reasons, and one of the third reason is because life is full of obstacles and problems and issues and life. We all know life. And so he says various svaras that will help us overcome it. And one of the things is that if you make the proverbial list of everything that works, and you say, you have a bump in the road, but you're breathing and you're talking and your legs are working and you have a lot to be thankful for, etc., etc., etc. And it's all true. It's very true. And if we learn Shara HaBechina properly, what he wants to do by writing Shara HaBechina, he writes, this is what his intention is that we should always be so overwhelmed by Hashem's goodness, and we should notice it when we walk in the street, and we should realize it when we cross the street, and when we look at the sunset or flowers or the sun setting or the moon, like overwhelming. And Mitzvah Hashem will go through this. We're going to walk out of here science majors. Believe that. And so I said, but these are all, you can go deeper in thankfulness and in gratitude. Because these things, it's like you're making a list. You have a scale, and you say, okay, this is going wrong with my life, this is going wrong with my life, this is going wrong with my life. Oh! But I could see, I could hear, and my intestines are working, Asher Yotzar, And so I said, it's thankfulness and it's gratitude, and it is overwhelmingly on one side of the ledger, and it's all true. It's not true, Chas V'Shalom, it's all true, but it's sort of chitzoni. It's because you're just making a list, and then if you're in a bad mood, or if you right now, what's looming in your life is this problem, and it's sometimes you tear up the list and you throw it away. I don't care. I said, but there's one thing that's more than a list. There's one thing that's pnimi. It's pnimi. It's pnimi, and it's not that I have gratitude, but my life is suffused with gratitude, if you realize it, and that's being alive. I said, when we say, we thank Hashem, we say all the brachas, but moda ani lefanecha, there's nothing more powerful than that, or hamachzir neshamos lefkarim meisim, say elokai neshamos nesatabi, because when I thank Hashem that I'm alive, it means I'm in the game. It means that I'm aware that I have problems. It means that I exist. Otherwise, I compared it, I said it's like Emunah b'Hashem. Like many Rishonim say, that Emunah b'Hashem can't be a mitzvah. It's much too basic. Like, you have to presuppose someone telling me to do something for it to be a mitzvah. But if I don't believe in Hashem, then there's no one telling me to believe in Hashem. So it's so fundamental a belief that it can't even be a mitzvah. Okay, the Rambam holds it is a mitzvah, and one day we'll in our philosophy class, which hasn't formed yet, we'll talk about it. But the point is, it's that Hashem exists. you can't tell me to believe that Hashem exists. Who's telling me? Who's telling me that to believe that Hashem exists? Hashem, but being alive is on that primary level, and when we're grateful we're alive, it means we're grateful we're in the ball game. We're grateful that we're aware we have problems. We're grateful that we know we have that we have problems. We're grateful that we know we have problems and we try to deal with them, and we deal with them however we deal with them. That's not a list. That list you can't tear up. That list is that my very being and essence and existence, mahus, my being is a matana from Hashem. And like you can't escape that. That's no, there's nothing that could outweigh that. Any problem I have, I only have because I can only have and deal with and cope with and figure out what to do and be sad about. Because I'm alive. Okay, thank you, Hashem, for making me exist. So that would be a very fundamental Shar HaBechina. That's on a different level. You can make your lists so that I can talk and walk and think and digest. But thank you, Hashem. O Dani Lefonecha, Malachai V'chayom, Shechazarta B'Nishmosi B'chemlo, Rabo Emunosecha goes beyond all of that. And it's not chitzoni, it's pnimi. And it's not forced. It's me. It's how is there a me to even think about me? And the thing, like, it's so thank you. So if we thank Hashem, if we're grateful to Hashem for existing, that will always be like bedrock. That will always be our bedrock. Our lives will be suffused with gratitude. Like the other things you have to think about, and as I say, you know, but here I'm alive. Thank you, Hashem, and my whole life. Kolatzmosoi tamarna Hashem michamocha. Like, thank you, Hashem, that I'm here saying thank you. It's like very. I think it's very. It's deep. It's a very. It's fundamental. It's essential. It's bedrock. It's. Okay. As I said, so when someone's life is saved, the hodah goes far beyond like a sudas hodah that, you know, for events that, but someone's mamish about to be dead. I mean, about, you know. You saw slowly sinking. Then I was like, Tchias Amesim. I think the first time I saw him when he was, you know, when he had color in his face instead of a deep brown. I went to, it was Thanksgiving, I went to, Zion Kislev was the operation. Shabbos was the anniversary of the operation on the Hebrew calendar, Zion Kislev. But there were 13 Adas. That's a Thanksgiving. Right, I had my son drive me, as long as he was back for the football game, he didn't mind. I talked about that, remember? I said, he didn't care. As long as he's back for the football game, he's okay. My David drove me to Philadelphia. So I remember I walked into the room, and so I'm saying it's a disparity in months because of the two Adars. So Zion Kislev last year was like right before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I walked into the room, and the kid had like a normal color. Okay. Let's continue. We're going to try to finish the psicha today. I think I'm going to repeat, maybe. Please forgive me. I do that a lot. Because I, believe it or not, I learned the Sefer too before I teach it. So But who was in Shul Shabbos? Anybody? Okay, so you should know, I didn't fully understand the mashal of the hospital until I prepared the drasha. I think I said it much better than I said it in the class. I just had a clarity in what his mashal is, that the world is a hospital. Let me tell it over, because I enjoy it now. I enjoy it. He says the world is a hospital for blind people, and the hospital's there to cure you of your blindness. And obviously the nimshal is we're blind to Hashem, and the hospital in his mashal, the hospital is exactly arranged in a way that it takes in blind people, and everything is mesudar to cure them of their blindness. And they have to go through shlavim in the hospital. You don't just get cured in a day. So the shlavim and everything is set up to cure them of their blindness. So he says, well, what do people do in this world? They come to the hospital and they can't see, and they right away they get angry. Where's the doctor? Where's the medicine? What's going on here? And they start grabbing at medicines and taking them, and they start flailing away, and they break the vials of medicine, and they take the wrong medicines at the wrong time, because they're blind and they don't know what they're doing, and they're not following anything that was arranged for them and that was mesudar for them and the doctor's orders. They're just flailing away, and then the Chavis HaLodah says, we learned it already last week, they end up getting angry. This benevolent benefactor built this hospital for them for free in order to cure them of their blindness, and they're standing there cursing him and saying, this person that built this building, that built this hospital, hates us and doesn't like us and doesn't want us to get better ever. He's just interested in taunting us and toying with us and just messing us up. Fools, he says. People, the nimshal is rather obvious. And that's where we'll pick up from. He quotes a pasuk in Koheles, "V'gam k'shasochal libo holech libo choser v'yomalak kol sochalhu." And you're expressing how foolish you are. Like you're revealing foolishness, and really, again, on a much smaller scale, but it's still true, and it maybe hurts. We talk about it. We complain. We complain. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too windy. It's too sunny. It's too rainy. It's so achy outside. And Baruch Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, that's the one thing I'm so happy my kids are cured of. And we have American visitors that still spoil from it. That when it's raining, the kids get all happy and glicklach, and they start dancing. It's raining! Wow! And in America, you know, it rains 2 days in a row. You're going stir crazy, and you're complaining about the rain. And here, it can rain for a week, and everybody's just, wow, this is so great. So, but everything. And he says, the fool says, and I said this yesterday in the drasha, the fool says, you know, if the world was up to me, this would be a much better place. Mm-hmm. Hashem, he's like, he's having an off day today. You leave the world up to me, and I'll fix it up the way it should be. So it's foolish. It's like the people in that hospital that are demanding what they don't know what they're demanding, and then they end up getting angry at the person, at the benefactor. So he says, "V'chivin shehu kain." I think we learned this last week. Forgive me. V'chivin shehu kain. People who have wisdom and scientific knowledge have an obligation to teach those who are not aware of the great beneficence and the great tova that exists in every single part of the Bria. And he's including history and the flow of history, and he's not just everything, chemistry, biology. He'll give a list of the disciplines. And history is part of it, and having the Torah is part of it for Bnei Yisrael. Like, he doesn't give short thrift to that. It's an amazing tova. Ulahoros, but he says the chachamim have an obligation to teach. Ulahoros b'nei adam l'das yisronam, to see how good they have it, b'derech sichlam. This is classic chalvus halvavus. He doesn't want you to accept anything on faith. This is not a faith-based sefer. This is a rational, sichli, and he keeps on referring to man using his rational faculties to reach certain conclusions. The most, in Shar HaYichud, which we didn't learn, and where he philosophizes about Hashem's existence and Hashem's unity, he says, he admits, I can't prove it to you mathematically. This is not something that could ever be mathematically proven. It's going to have to be enough that you're convinced that it's true. But he wants you to study it. This is Shar HaYichud. It was the philosophy of his day. I don't know if it would work for nowadays. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. That's why he wrote Shar HaBechina. He says, I don't know, Shar HaYichud is for philosophers. Shar HaBechina, I'm going to train you to be aware and be convinced of Hashem's existence by looking at a flower. By looking at and a flower times a million. Because everything you look at is full of complexity and chachma and plan and design, and it works and it fits together and the world goes. Right? And if it wouldn't be exact, the exact temperature, it wouldn't work. So we teach this to people, and then he says a tremendous insight. I think we learned it last week already. He says, my kids give me the latest cell phone, and it takes pictures, and I don't know, it dances, it sings, I don't know what it does. And I, you know, to me it's a cell phone, you know, I just want it to take calls. And so instead of looking at me, that it's such a pity. They have a lot of reasons they say that, you know, but it's such a pity. Like poor Tati, he doesn't know. He doesn't appreciate the cell phone that has such, or a computer. Like, I have a computer at home, art school computer. I do nothing with it but emails and Word documents. That's the extent of my computer literacy. And my daughter's on Google. Yeah, okay. Google. Yeah. Right? That's only because of Shar HaBechina. And my daughters are making pictures, and I don't know what they're doing. They're doing all sorts of stuff on the computer that we could see. No closed doors. We don't allow closed doors in the house by the computer. It has to be in the open. A very strict rule. But they know. I don't know all these. Like, you go into the kishkas of the computer. They showed me one. There's like hundreds of programs there. Hundreds, thousands. And then you go deeper into it, and you see all these weird letters and words. Like, and you're in the kishkas, and what's a computer? It's a joke, you know. And then think of the bria of which a computer is like one teeny, teeny, teeny small speck of one thing in the whole world. And he says, such a pity. He says, if you don't appreciate a flower, if you don't appreciate what happened in history, if you don't see what Hashem is doing, you won't have pleasure. It's like they're looking at me. I'm not having pleasure from my cell phone. Like, I'm not having pleasure from the computer. I know 1/100th of what it does. I'm thankful for so little of what it does, and so I'm not enjoying the other part. So it's a waste. It's a waste of the computer. I'm not enjoying it. I'm not using it. I'm not enjoying it. That's what the Chavis Alvavus says about the world. You have an obligation to teach others how to see Hashem's beneficence. Because not only so that they know it, but if they don't know it, they won't properly or fully have pleasure from the world, because they're not aware of it. It's like, I'm not aware that my cell phone takes pictures. So I don't have that enjoyment from the phone if I don't know it takes pictures. So if I don't appreciate the eye, if I don't appreciate the complexity of the eye, just to pick one small thing, so I don't have pleasure when I see. But if I knew, like, if I have the knowledge, and you could spend, I'll say a year, but that's a joke, you could spend your whole life, spend a year studying the eye, and how it works, and everything, how you have color vision, and peripheral, everything, how the eye works. Then every time I said pokei achivrim, and every time I used my eye, I would like be awash in pleasure. I would say, wow. Like every time, the first time you get a camera? The first time you get a computer, the first time you get a cell phone, and like it works, and you go, wow, let me do that again, whether you have to or not, it doesn't matter. You just want that pleasure of enjoying this good thing that's giving you hanah, that's giving you tova. That's what Hashem wants the world to be. He wants it to be that way because it should be a vehicle to see Him, to see Hashem, to be aware of Him, to be thankful to Him, to be cognizant of Him. That's why he didn't do it. You know, you read that Hashem created this world that people should have pleasure. That's true. It's not the whole story. It's true, let's say, in the Olam Haba sense, the way the Mesillas Yesharim says it, the Ramchal's whole philosophy, that Hashem created the whole ball of wax, so to speak, because He's a Meitiv, and He wants people to have good things. But that has to do with Olam Haba, and has to do with Nenem Yisiv Hashchina. In this world, it's wrong. I'm speaking a little strongly, I know, but it's wrong to say Hashem wants us to have pleasure and then to put a period at the end of that sentence. Not in this world, in the next world. In this world, He wants us to have pleasure as a way of reaching Him, as a way of seeing Him, as a way of experiencing Him, so that we, because that's our career, Avigdor Miller Zatzal used to say, our career, our job, what we're all about in this world is recognizing Hashem's existence, and as a corollary, being moda to Him, being mahalel Him, being mishabeach Him, which are all means of acknowledgement and hodah. And that's why, here we go again, in Shar Avodas Elokim, which comes after Shar HaBechina, he says that all of our doing mitzvahs and all of our avodas Hashem and everything we do is one big thank you. That is the way it's supposed to be. That should be the perspective, the mahalach, the maslul. That is what it is. Everything we do is thank you, Hashem. A tremendous chiddush. We've been learning this for years now already. So, it's maybe we'll start believing it one day. But that's the chavis avavus, and that's why it's important really to learn Shara Habachina before Shara Avodas Elokim, because you Shara Habachina is what he's saying now. It is an obligation to teach people to be aware of Tovus Habore, to know how complex and how beautiful everything is. Ki kama tovos mona ba'alein lehonos behen, people don't have pleasure. The irbev simchaso behen, and your simcha is diluted, if you don't have the full hakara, even if you have a good friend, so you're happy, or a good spouse, and your enjoyment and your happiness is diluted if you don't have full appreciation for all of the milas. So, you see, this is his tremendous, wonderful insight. It's not just your failing and your obligation, it comes back to haunt you, because you're missing that pleasure. That's the very. And when you wake them up, umagalim lohem, and you reveal to them mashanelo midaitom mehen, what was previously missing from their knowledge, yigdal shvachem, they burst forward with praise, the tirbaho da osam lemetiv lohem, and they say, "Wow, like I didn't know you were doing this." Like you wake up in the morning, a man wakes up with his breakfast on the table every morning. You know, he eats it, it's there, why not? Then one day his wife tells him, I make you that breakfast. He goes, wow! And then all of a sudden he can't stop thanking her enough. So in the mashal you say, well, where did he think that came from? Yeah, but you know, in the nimshal, where do we think the flowers come from? And where do we think everything comes from, right? So but that's what he said, his three reasons why he has to write the sefer, why he has to tell us your wife made you breakfast. Why does he have to say Hashem did this? Why should he have to say that? So he said his three reasons. But when you teach people to be aware of the tova that they receive, they all of a sudden have tremendous pleasure, which was nimna from them before they had this knowledge. And now they have it, and they give thanks. That's like amazing, because we get schar for this. Not only is the whole thing for our benefit and for our enjoyment, and because when we makir Hashem, it's also a hakara of truth. It's not an oil. It's you know, the greatest pleasure in the world might very well be when you realize you're in consonance with reality. And everything's real. It's real. It's not frumkeit. It's not an oil. It's not responsibility. It's not minhag. It's not mesoris. It's not even seichel. It's mamish reality. And then you just, wow, like I'm in tune with reality. I'm in tune with the whole bria. I'm in tune with creation. I'm in tune with the plants. I'm part of the Bria. I'm part of the Bria. Right? They sing to Hashem. When we say the Hallelukas in the morning, especially the third Halleluka and the fifth, this is the Bria, and then the third Halleluka, the fifth, and then the first Bracha of Birchas Kriyashma talks about the Ma'oros, very, very, very long Bracha. But Avigdor Miller Zatzal always says that's the longest Bracha in the history of the Siddur. That's the absolute longest bracha. It's all one bracha. All one big bracha. And it talks about the Ma'oros and how they control the world and how Hashem and Umavarchim, Umashabchim, Umafarim, Umaritzim, Umakdishim, Umamlichim, Hashem, Hakel, Hamelech, Hagadol, Hagibor, Manarokadoshu, Mukhulam, Kabamalem, Omal, Chushmaim, Zemizem, Nosam, Rishus, Lakdish, Liotron, Banachasurach, Psofov, Rudov, Nimo. And like it's just, that's what the Bria does. The Bria sings the praises of Hashem, and we do too. Baruch Hinafshi is Hashem, and that's what we're supposed to do. But we can't do it if we don't recognize it. If we don't, so when we do, we start dancing in the streets. Okay, and then people come and take us away. He quotes a pasuk in Koheles as follows: Divrei chachamim kedarvonos are like spikes. I don't know, spikes, goad. It's like an axe goad, G-O-A-D, where you poke an axe to keep it going. Uchamasmerum netuim, like nails, I think, driven nails. Balei asufos are the words he's going to say. There's like a word missing in the pasuk. Uchumas meros natuim are the words of Balei Asupos, those that compiled. So he says exactly what it means. Dima hachacham divrei hachachamim, the words of the chachamim, who teach us exactly what he just said. Lidarvonos, they're like goals, be'inyan ahara. They wake us up, they inspire us, they make us realize things, right? So you go with the axe and we get goaded into learning about the Bria and seeing the Bria and seeing Hashem. V'dima olsam, and also he compares them l'masmeros natuim, to driven nails. Bale asufos is bale tfisa siva v'chibur. It means they write books. In other words, if you can't learn from them directly, they're going to write books, and you're going to read their books. Bavurkiyim and yonehem b'levavos, so that people should always be able to refer to the books. Maybe they wrote an encyclopedia. V'kiyim oifani hachachma b'hem b'nefashos. Right, everybody should get it. What's it called? Ha'olam u'mlo'o. Very good encyclopedia. Good Haredi encyclopedia. But that's only the natural world. You have this Halperin. Halperin. Made this something basis row. Like a huge encyclopedia. Ukvar pirshu bali asufos means bali hachibur, and people that write svarim. I came to the shiur right a couple of weeks ago, the night of the bar mitzvah, and I laid out on the table all those svarim that teach you about the Bria. And that's nothing. It's a joke what that is. That's just as like headliners, maybe a few headliners. But you can have, you can learn about the eye, I said. You can learn about it for the rest of your life. You can learn about the eye or the tooth or anything. Balei chaburim bahastoras divrei, there's like a word divrei missing, asher betchilas ha-posuk. Vahatam, and this is the way you read the posuk, uchamas meros kavuam divrei balei asufas. His point is that it's kavua, it's steady, it's long-lasting. Like when you nail something together, so it stays that way. So he says, first of all, so divrei chachamim serve two purposes. This is how he's explaining the posuk in Mishlei. In Kehelas. It's a goad, because it goads you, it wakes you up, it's ma'orer you, it doesn't let you fall asleep. It forces you to be on the ball, and it's long-lasting. And that's like with a nail, it's kavua, it's going to last a long time, and maybe that's the reference to Svarim, because that lasts past the time they teach. The teaching is limited to their lifetime, but then you have Svarim and it lasts. Chavis Alvavis' time, Svarim, though, was no picnic. There was no computer and no printing press. Everything was painstakingly written over by hand on parchment. Or maybe papyrus. You didn't have to write on parchment, I guess. But making a sefer then was no picnic. And you didn't go into a store and buy a sefer. There was no printing press. You wanted a sefer, you had to write it over. Imagine if every book we wanted, we would have to write over.
We'd really learn it as we were writing it.
Yeah, but the Abishah knew what he was doing when he made the printing press. Vatam, okay, ki asforim amuchubor, v'mini achokma kayomim omdim, ein to'altam nefsekes, their benefit doesn't stop, malkindima osom lamas merus natuim. So what he said in this last paragraph is that chacham have an obligation to teach this, to make people aware of it, and thus people will have pleasure, so you're doing a chesed, and they ultimately will turn around and give halel to Hashem, so they'll be doing the greatest mitzvah of all. They'll be doing what a person's task is in Olam Hazeh, what he's supposed to be doing. Okay, we're up to the last few lines of the psicha, and he does this in every psicha. He gives you a table of contents for what's coming up. But tzarech shenavor ato me'inyan habechina Shisha and Yonim, and lo and behold, there are six prakim and shar habechina. I hope. Harishon mehem, number one, and then this is how the prakim are split up. Number one is mehus habechina v'amitusa. What is it? What is the nature of this reflection or examination of that we do in the world? We'll see what that means when we learn the parak. What's the nature of it? What's its muhus? What's its kishkas? What is it? Vasheni, number two, imanachnu chayovim livchon bibruim imlo. Is this a midas chasidus, or is it an obligation? Well, what is this? I keep talking about it. I want to know where I'm coming from. Where did it come from, this obligation, if it's an obligation? Maybe it's not an obligation. Maybe it's just a midas chasidus that some people do. Vashlishi echofani habechina bebruim. The various ways that Hashem's wisdom is manifest in the bruim. Vorvi kamemine simoni hachochma bebruim ashenucha livchon bohem. Different types of chochma that exist. Hachamishi ezumehem korve elenu, which is easier for us to do. So maybe we'll start with a small step, because that's easier for us. But also, v'anachnu chayovim livchon bo yoser mishei rusam. That's a yisol gadol in life. The Chavis Halavas repeats it many times. If something's easier for you to do, more korov elecha, you're more shayach to it. Not even a question, I don't think, of difficult and easy, but you're close to it, it's close to your heart. Then you're obligated to do it more than the other things that are somewhat distant. So which bechinos, maybe astronomy is like too esoteric, but learn first biology, because that's your body and you work with your body. I'm just giving an example of what he might say. That's what he's talking about. Like, is there a priority list? Is there something that's closer to us that we're more obligated to do it first? We're more obligated to do it, and therefore we should do it first before we do the other bechinos. Before I start trying to figure out what's on Mars, I'll try to figure out what's on my nose. Vashishi b'mafsidei habechina v'advorim atluyim bo. Which we really just had a taste of in the Psicha when he described why he wrote the whole Shaar for. I think we'll stop here.